desire y'all's prayers this evening. I enjoyed that song. There's something about when you get to the cross and see it for what it is, it's a different thing to look at when you walk on down the road, when you look back knowing that the debt is paid. You know, there's a lot to be said for that. I'd like to challenge us tonight with a little thought. The thought the Lord has given me is doing God's will. I'd like to start off reading in Matthew chapter 21, starting off in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? I wanted us to think about this evening. What does it mean to do God's will? Now, I want us to note, you know, we've talked before, you can't be saved by works. And one thing I've noticed in this parable that Jesus was speaking, both people were referred to as sons of the Father. However, there's a difference between the two boys. One said, I'm not going to go. And one said, I'll go. Now, just on that criteria, if you didn't know the other results, which one would you say was doing the will of the Father? Well, that one said he was going. But we know that in reality, based on the parable, one of them spoke with his mouth, but his actions didn't go anywhere. He laid back under the shade tree, my little view of it. Stayed easy for the rest of the day. But the one that said, I'm not going to go, he got to thinking about it and he's like, you know what? I really need to do that. What do you think caused him to go work in the field after he said no? Do you think it was the love he had for his father? That he got to sitting there thinking, you know what? There's a lot of work to be done. Dad can't do it all. He's getting on up in age. Needs help. I really ought to go help him. I love my dad. I don't want to see him hurt. Don't want to see him go beyond what he can do. Be all caved up with his health. I want to take care of him. So I'll go. Now the other one said, sure, I'll go work in your field. And then didn't go. What kind of love or feeling do you think he had for his father? Think he had much love at all? Or was it a superficial love? Just wanted to sound good. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that will raise their hands and say, I'm a child of the King. They'll raise their hands high. They'll testify. They will share their testimony of how they got saved. But what fruits do you see in their life? I mean, the fruits of the Spirit says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Can you just speak love? What about joy? Can I tell somebody that I'm just joyful and have a face that doesn't show it? Would they believe me or would they be like, you're not joyful? Peace, What about long suffering? Is that something that you just talk about? How does somebody know your long? How does that fruit get into your life? Is it just you tell somebody, "Well, I suffered long once." It's a tough thing to have to suffer long, but I did it once. Or do they generally know you have long suffering because they see that fruit growing on the vine while they're talking to you? Now, I went through the fruits of the world, if you want to call it that, and picked some out and read the definitions and want us to look at some of these things and just consider these as fruits. If they're in your life, you may want to pause a moment and consider which field you're working in. Are you working in your Father, Heavenly Father's field, or are you working somewhere else? Uncleanness. Absence of restraint. Hatred or hostility. Debate and strife. Hot anger. Punitive zeal. Violent stirrings of the passion. A desire to put oneself forward. A partisan and fractious spirit. Divisions. And now this next one is one word in the Bible, but I've got the definition here. Worshiping together but not truly holding the word in unity. Because you know that's what heresy is. Sometimes we think it's a heretic is somebody that walked away, but it's not. It's somebody that says, not to use what Brother Rod mentioned earlier, but this is what I believe in, but is it what you really believe in? Or is it what the group you belong to teaches? Envy and jealousy. Do you know if you look at around in your lives, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. If I go out, I have an apple tree, and I see apples on it, it's a pretty sure sign that's an apple tree. If it has lemons on it, well, then somebody got confused and they made it over to my lemon tree. That's the lemon tree. It's got lemons on it. You can't really, it's real hard to make a different kind of fruit grow on a tree. Even if you graft different fruits into a tree, if somebody goes out there and looks at that tree, they'll know which limb came from what tree originally, because there's fruit that's a set kind on it. It doesn't change. In our lives, when we're working for the Lord, we should be producing fruit from His field. Fruit from what He would have us plant. These two sons. One appears to be rebellious by his words. But the fruit that came out was obedience, wasn't it? The other one, by his words, appeared to have the fruit of obedience. But the actual fruit that came out was the fruit of rebellion. Our world really would like to convince us that some of these things really don't matter. You can let them go. You proclaim that the Lord is your Savior. That's all you need. And that is true if you're looking for salvation. But you know what? We don't die when we get saved. We continue to live, which means we're now should be living and producing fruit for the Lord. And to say that somehow these fruits of the world, if they're in your life, doesn't matter, I would challenge you. What does the word of Jesus say about these fruits? Where should they be in our lives? Let's look at John. John chapter 8, starting in verse 30. And this is Jesus. He said, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we see here, he'd been preaching and teaching. Some Jews had believed, they had heard, they had responded. That's all good. That's all wonderful. But then Jesus, talking to them, gives them a little bit of a challenge. He says, if you continue, now that word continue means to remain, to abide, to dwell, to live. So Jesus wasn't just telling these people, as long as you continue holding on to what you've heard, you're going to do fine. You'll be my disciples. He said, you need to dwell here, live here. This should show up in your life. We are his disciples still today. Are we working in those fields so the fruit shows up in our lives? So that what we have is actually active? People can see it. I don't have to tell people. We had an apple tree up there when we lived in Missouri on the farm in Fairgrove. And it was a big, beautiful tree. Produced apples for about 3 years, I think, after we moved to the farm. And the last year it produced apples just all over it. And then it stopped producing. Now, we can talk about the apples that tree produced and share with people what a wonderful bounty it was that year. But it never produced fruit again. People would look at the apple tree, and yeah, it looks like an apple tree, has the leaves of an apple tree. But that was it. It stopped producing. We had our testimony of it producing. But for anybody else that came by, it's like, well, I don't know. They say it has good apples. What does the Bible say we're supposed to do to the word? Taste and see, right? Taste it. How's the world supposed to taste and see what the Lord has to offer if there's no fruit from our lives? If we're testifying about the good experience we had and maybe the wonderful things that happened the year we got saved, but here it is 5, 10, 20 years down the road, and we're still talking about that bumper crop from way back then. Not even a little green apple coming out on the tree. Let's go to John 14. John 14, going to read a couple of verses here. Actually, take that. John 13. Starting John chapter 13, starting in verse 34. It says, the new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now this verse, sometimes a lot of people will talk about, well, it's about the heart that matters. You know, you can't see into my heart. Don't judge me. I love God and you can't see in the heart. But Jesus put some criteria out here that the love he's talking about wasn't an unseen love of the heart, was it? Because he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. So as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So Jesus has told us included in this, if you're following me, there's a fruit that needs to be there. It's a fruit that will show to the world you're mine. A fruit that says he's really grafted into the vine. It's a living fruit. It's not a fruit you talk about. It's not something we just talk with our lips. It has to be active. An active testimony of our love. Do you think it's just our love for each other, the brethren, the Christians? What kind of love did Jesus show? I mean, who did he die for on the cross? Just for us, right? Just for the saved. Or did he die for all the sinners? Which one of us was saved before the cross called us? I can speak for myself and say I wasn't. I was a sinner. And so the love Jesus had that he showed to the world, he said, I'm going to show you a love that's unconditional. It's not based on, do you like me or not? It's not based on, do you want what I have or not? It's based on, I love you so much, I'm going to give you what you need for free, pay the complete price on my own, so that if you're willing to pick it up, you'll have it anytime you want. You just have to ask for it. And he wants us to love like that. To look at people and say, oh, they're treating me wrong. And he wants our response to be, Lord, help me to show them the love you had on the cross for them. Help me win them. To me, if somebody's doing you dirty, do you know what that should be? That should be a challenge for you as a Christian. How can you win them? How can you show them the love of God to the point they're willing to turn to Christ? Because that's one of the people that Christ died for. He didn't want people to just, okay, Christ died for me. I've said his name. I've confessed my sins. And you know what? I'm going to pick on you, Brother Rod. Brother Rod stepped on my toe the other day and didn't apologize to it. So I'm not going to talk to Brother Rod for another 3 or 4 weeks. Why? Well, he hurt my feelings. He should have apologized for that. Have you ever seen people? I've watched this happen in stores sometimes. You'll see people and they'll bump into each other in a, say, the grocery aisle. And watch those people sometimes. You'll see interesting reactions. Sometimes you'll see people, the other person clearly runs into them. But you'll see the person that got hit turn, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't see you there. They weren't moving. And yet their reaction to being ran into is to apologize and get out of the person's way. To show a deference to that other person. And then you have the opposite sometimes. They get bumped into and they turn around snarling. You need to watch where you're going. You could have broke my leg. What kind of fruit does that say? Same scenario. And I mean, these are real things I've witnessed. Which person do you think I say, that person's probably got something better in their heart than the other? Is it the one that snarled and defended their rights? Or is it the one that was more willing to say, I am so sorry, I did not see you coming down the aisle. Let me get out of your way. You know, Jesus saw the penalty for sin coming towards humanity. And his way of dealing with it was to say, you know what, folks? If y'all will step over here, I'll get in front of that for you. I'll take the hit. I'll get it to where there will be no consequences for you if you're willing for me to do that for you. But now, if you don't want to get out of the way of sin, I'm still going to take the hit for you. But you're going to get it because you're not going to be getting out of the way. Let's look at John 14 now. John chapter 14, going to read in verse 15 and then drop down to verse 23. Starting in John 14, 15, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And then down there in verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So if we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. But once again, what does the word keep mean? Sometimes the unfortunate part of translating into other languages is you lose some of the nuances. Does it mean that I'm going to keep the word? I'm going to have a Bible in my house the whole time? That's it? As long as I keep the word, I'm good? The word here, keep, also means to obey, to observe, to fulfill a duty, precept, law, or custom, to perform watchfully and vigilantly. Jesus has said, if you love me, I've died for you. You claim to be my child. There's very few children that would truly say, I don't love my parents. There's circumstances in the world where I do know there's hurts and stuff out there, but most children want to love their parents. And Jesus is saying, you love me? Keep my commandments. This is the way you show it to me. This is his will. Do you know if we say we love him, but then we don't do it? We're the son that didn't go into the field to work. I love Jesus. Praise his holy name. He's wonderful. Okay. Are you doing his will? Are you reading his word and putting it to active use in your life? Because you know, by your fruits, men will know you. If your fruits show that you don't treat the word properly, you don't embrace its teachings, you don't really follow it, you know that you're telling the whole world you're not really a child of Christ. You don't really love him. Because you're choosing to do other things. And in verse 24 there it says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So if we're rejecting the teachings of Christ, do you know we're also rejecting God? It's not just a simple, I believe in God. And you know, there's people that will try to separate the need for repentance and say, well, I still believe in God. I don't need Jesus. But Jesus has clearly said, this is all tied together. You can't have and be in the will of God if you're not following my teachings. These go hand in hand. And there's fruits that you should be producing. And if you're producing the fruits I've asked you to produce, you're producing the fruits the Father wants. So if you do have those in your life and the world looks at your life and says, yes, I see them, do you know it's a testimony to you? It'll be something that will, and I'm speaking of my human thoughts here, it'll be something that will be beneficial to you in the day of judgment. Because I've often pondered the day of judgment where everybody that's ever lived standing before the throne. And I think of some of my experiences in court where they call different witnesses. Everybody that ever witnessed what you've done will be there and can be called to accuse or defend you. And imagine Jesus, the advocate, your lawyer, standing there and saying, hold on, Father. Let me call some people over here. Let me call these people over. What did you see in this person's life? What about you? Oh, the fruit. You know, there are some verses that talk about there's going to be people that are going to be told by Jesus, well done, and they're going to be like, wait a minute, when did we do these things? I've pondered that scripture. Because that was talking about judgment. There's potentially going to be people at judgment, Jesus said, that are going to be looking like, wait a minute, Lord, when did we do this? And he's going to say, you did it to the children of mine. You may have not recognized the fruit that was growing in your life, but it was my fruit. It's what I was looking for. I mean, if we think back to the two young men at the start of the message tonight, the one who said, I'm not going to go work in your field, but he went. And that's the one, even the people Jesus was talking to, that's the one the people said, yes, that man did the will of the Father. But he had pushed back. He had resisted. But down inside, something was working. And he said, I will do the will of the Father. I am going to go after all. Let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. There are going to be people that's going to try to deceive us. They're going to say, you don't have to do that. They're going to say, the wheat's and the tares scenario, I've gone to this church my whole life, and I've never done that, and I'm just as good as the other person. Be careful. Are you trying to please the people around you, do the will of those around you to say what's acceptable to the group? Or should you be instead saying, what is acceptable to my Christ, to God? What is it that I need? The world wants you to care about how you look to others, because it's an easy way to start slipping pride in. There's been folks that have been very proud of their religion, their dress. There's people sometimes that are proud of their humility. We have the record of the Pharisee. Proud. Lord, I thank you. I'm not as this other man over here. I tithe. I fast. I'm saved. The other man said, Lord, I'm not worthy to even look up at you. I'm just going to bow my head. Said he stood afar off. But it said when those two men left, which man was justified? The one that had professed with his mouth how good he was? Or the one who saw himself for what he was and said, Lord, help me. I want to do your will. I'm struggling, but I'm still trying. I want to challenge us. Let's put his words to action in our lives. Proving them. It said, proving, what did it say there in the verse? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Do you know if you put the Lord to a test and not temptation, as we heard this morning? But the Lord has said, taste and see. I've got things for you. You want a blessing? There's some things I want to do for you. How many times have we read the verse about having your cup filled and running over? How does your cup get that way? You had to give. I said, why? Well, the output of giving, you had to give away stuff to get. Why? The Lord says, well, you're holding on to it. You don't think there's room for me to give you what I really want to give you. But if you will make room in your life, getting rid of some of this stuff that I maybe can have other people use, your life will be overflowing. When you give something up, I will fill that void that you think is going to be there. I will take care of it. I will bless you. Let's bear fruit for him that is pleasing to him. He doesn't want his vine to not bear fruit. There's multiple parables in the Bible where he talks about the plant that doesn't bear fruit and what happens to it. The good news is a lot of those parables talk about the care and the repeated tries that he takes at getting it to bear fruit. But we don't want to go too long without. Y'all pray for me.